You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm with...
James Wrench.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good.
Good. So I'm going to start by making a couple of announcements. First of all, you're listening to WCNO 89.9. It's 5 p.m. on a Friday, and we are Kingdom Recovery. And we're happy to be back this week to talk about taking a personal inventory and looking at ourselves truthfully, not in the way, in a self-centered way. How's that? Prideful way. And we're going to talk about pride today because something I said last week, I want to be clear on what I meant by what I said. So anyway, this is Kingdom Recovery. We are also doing a five sessions of healing and deliverance, Kingdom Recovery, Biblical teaching, God's will for deliverance and healing. And James is going to be teaching it, and I'm going to be popping in, you know, to help out and stuff.
And we'll be discussing, like, spiritual roots of disease and stuff in that.
Amen, amen. And that will be at Treasure Coast Victory Center. And you can call me at 631-745-7980. You can even call the station at 772-221-1100, and they have the information too. Or they'll give you my number, and then you just call me, and I can be more detailed about what this is about. But in October, every Thursday in October at 6:30, we're doing a live in person. So it would be nice to meet some of you listening. Deliverance and healing classes. And you guys, the people who are coming, you guys listening, will be actually laying hands and, you know, doing deliverance, which is exciting because God tells us to do that, you know, and it's good to practice and to learn these things so that when you are confronted with something, you can take action, God's action. Hallelujah. Right, James?
Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, and Mark 16:17-18 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they cast out devils. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So that's God's command and the ministry that he gave to us so that we can help those who are still sick and suffering, right, out there. So last week we were talking about step four, and it's take a personal inventory of ourselves. And we talked about the three categories, resentment, fear, and sex harms done to others. And I discussed how it's like biopsychosocial inventory. And we talked about how the resentment is the bio, the fear is the psycho, and you know, psychological and the harms done to others, sex harms, relationships, are our social behaviors. Because God says be fruitful and multiply. And if we can't socially interact and be one with each other, or even if we don't agree, but we can still tolerate and love each other, we can't multiply, if you know, and expand the kingdom if we're isolating or we're not being able to be around other people because we are not behaving properly because we have, like I said, resentments and fears in our heart. So we talked a little bit about that. I'm going to go back to more detail of the fourth step. But in the fourth step, it takes courage. And we talked about courage, and courage is like sound mind, courage, the mental or moral strength to face danger, fear, or significant difficulty instead of withdrawing from it. It's a sound mind. That's the description. Sane mind. And fruit of the Spirit tells us that, you know, we get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which is sound mind. And Jesus Christ-minded, God-centered, God-conscious is the way we are to operate here on earth in this human vessel. Okay, so God wants us to be in our natural vessel with a spiritual sense ability. How's that? That's good. So he wants us to operate from the spirit in the natural. And that's the difficulty here on earth, as it is in heaven here on earth. So I have to know God's will. And a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about, you know, taking a personal inventory, is most of the time I have these clogs, these blockages, which are resentments, fears, and harms that I felt I've been harmed or I'm harming others. And the reason why I believe that it says sex harms / harms done to others is because we know intimacy here in the natural is to I guess God's plan was that we multiply. And in the spiritual, knowing each other and being close, union with each other in the spirit, is also multiplying. It's like spiritual intercourse, I would say, if I had to say what the closest to it. So we need to walk in the spirit, and that's walking in the fullness of God, the divine nature, his disposition. And that's what Jesus did for us. He gave us a new nature. When he died and rose for us, and he sent the Holy Spirit, but we must be born again. You can't receive the new nature without being born again. That's why Jesus is the key to the new life that he's already planned out and did for us. But we can't enter in unless we are born again. So
the mystery in the Bible, it talks about in Colossians, it says the mystery revealed, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Yes, amen. And it's make a searching and fearless moral inventory of our lives, of ourself, not other people, because that's how it starts. Resentment's like, so-and-so did this and that. So God is so good. He designs it so that it can flip, because he wants us to repent and turn the eye view into the heart view and say, oh my gosh, I usually behave a certain way because I have maybe
rejection.
Okay, that's a good one. Rejection or bitterness, or, you know, I feel security threatened security wise. You know, I don't feel safe. So, and these things will reveal as we talk about events in our life that are either stumbling blocks or even the good things. You know, God gave us all gifts and talents, right? And it's up to us to utilize them properly. If I know before I knew Christ, and sometimes even now, I have to check my heart, you know, when I'm even teaching or preaching or praying on somebody, I'm constantly checking my heart, doing a personal inventory, spot check, you know, what's my motives here, you know? And that's what God wants us to do. And that's God conscious. Before I do something, I consult with God. And I say, is this the direction you want me to be in? So last week I talked about pride and what pride ego does, some of the things, the characteristics, right? Versus humility. And one of the, a couple of things I said, and I'll just start from the beginning of that. All right. Searching, examination of self. That's what the fourth step is about. Good, bad, fruit, gifts, talents. And then you're supposed to share it with God and another human being. Because when we become transparent, you know, we can say God knows us, right? Or God knows, I don't have to tell anybody else. But really what we're doing is hiding still, because they, maybe we're embarrassed, or maybe we have shame, or maybe guilt, and we're still hiding behind the bush. So just because we say in our minds, well, God knows everything about me, I don't have to share it with another person. God specifically commands and in his word says, confess our sins, to confess to one another. There's a promise in that. There's a peace and a freedom in revealing the truth about ourselves, about the things that are harassing us, that are keeping us from the sunlight of the Father, that are keeping us from flowing our river, the Holy Spirit flowing properly. You know, out of us, rivers flow, not in us, going into, but coming from us, from our bellies up and out. And if we're all clogged up because our gut's not right, because we're sick, you know, and we're have fear or anxiety or worry or depression, and our heart's not right and our stomach's not right, it's going to clog us up. So I talked about pride, ego, self-centeredness looks outward versus humility looks inward. What I was, I'll be more clear on that. What that means is pride looks at the outside appearance to look good and sound good and act good, where humility looks inwards. What is God's good for me? How should I be in my heart and my spirit and my soul and my body inside so that it can flow outside of me, rather than trying to fix it from the outside in, which I did my whole life. And, you know, sometimes I catch myself, especially if a bill comes in and I feel a little threatened, I have to take it easy and say, okay, I know you provide all my needs. I mean, those are moments that the enemy wants to capture your thinking and start invading territory in your soul. And it's our soul that needs sanctification. Even we're born again and we have a new disposition, a new nature, we're still thinking and acting, body, soul, and body, like the old man identity. And it's up to us to renew the mind, to be transformed. And only in the word, by faith, right? In the word, hearing the word gets us to know revelation and to know him better and to know what he says about things that are going on in life. So that's one of the things that I said that I think might have been maybe a little unclear. I also said pride, ego, self-centeredness, self-awareness rather than God awareness, right? Sees lack versus humility sees abundance. So even though it may appear this way in the natural, in the spiritual, the supernatural, right? The spirit nature, we know that God has more resources than the earth can ever supply us. And if he'll make a way to supply what needs to be supplied to us. It doesn't mean because I need it or I want it, it's going to be supplied. If it lines up with what God's purpose and plan is for my assignment, then it will be provided. And he'll make miracles happen for that. And I believe that. And pride is toxic and the root of all of our problems. It's always self-centeredness. When I'm so consumed, yum, 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 eating off of myself, I need to feel good, be good, see good, do good. Like it's all look good. It's all about me, 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 right? I, self, me, the ism of life. And that's also the, you know, 666, man, 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 I, self, me, man. So that's the lowercase g of the world. It's his nature that we're following. And we want to step out of that because God gave us a new nature. We don't have to. We don't have to do any of that ever again. Okay? But the more we know, the more we can grow. And then the more we go. Yeah. Right?
Hopefully.
Amen. So, go ahead, James.
Just a lot of people that's growing and growing for 25 years, still they don't feel like they're not going.
Right. Yeah. And that sometimes it's because of one of those things, maybe a resentment or fear or, you know, a harm. Yeah. That
fear, man, or pride,
that you got bruised pride, in your ego. Yeah.
Thinks they're embarrassed that they're not going to have the answer.
Mm-hmm. That could be it. And they're not smart enough. Yeah.
So many people, I mean, so many don't feel like they're equipped enough to talk to people. And then you get some young guy out there that don't know nothing, gets saved. The next day he's out witnessing. Is so a trick of the enemy, making you feel like, oh, if they ask you a question, when actually, if you just think about it, all you got to do is say, you know, I don't know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know everything. Well, us do, so, but I will get back to you on that.
Amen.
But he locks you down with fear.
I still get it where I have to rebuke, even on my way here. Like, God, you know, you chose me, so I know you're going to supply me. I just say yes. You know what people need. I have to say that prayer when I come here because sometimes I'll get caught up in like, oh, my God, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. You know? You know, and even when I'm at church, you know, preaching or doing teachings, whatever it is, the jail, whatever I'm being used for, the enemy wants to come in. And that's for everybody listening, whatever your family, your wife, your mother, your teacher, whatever role that God placed you in. The enemy is going to try and steal your identity in that role and steal who you are in Christ and make you think that you're not equipped. And listen, I am not equipped without God. As long as I know that, he'll provide. When I think that I am, and sometimes I do, like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm prepared for that. And then I go totally off of everything that I thought I should be talking about. You know, and it's just, and that's the way it goes. And we have to be open to that. Let the Holy Spirit flow.
You know? Yeah, every time somebody like starts talking about all the people talking against him, I just got off the phone with somebody doing that. I always say, that's really good. What do you think? Like, well, if they're not talking about you, something's wrong. Because if you're touching against the enemy's camp, he's going to have people stirred up against you.
Yeah.
The more annoying you move in, the more they're going to speak against you.
Yep.
That's why you got to be careful judging people, ministers, especially Amen. Like those of the past that moved in the gifts and stuff. You didn't see many bad articles about Billy Graham. At the same time, William Branham was around and they did nothing but bash him because that's where the crazy miracles are happening.
Mm.
And I love Billy Graham too. It's not, I'm just saying, you preach an evangelistic message, you can not get the flack. You start moving in miracles, the enemy's like right on it because he doesn't like that because that's what brings revival.
Amen. So Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So self-will, pride is self-will run riot. It's the root. When we're in chaos, when we can't get our thoughts right, you know, in order, when we're mismanaging, you know, our life, it's just chaos, you know, and that's what pride causes. And not only in our lives, but it's usually like around us too. So, and it's because there's a lack of power and we know it. We want control and we feel threatened when we don't feel control, like we have control. And that's all pride centered, right? Right, James?
Yeah, pride is just really tricky though, because people see arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to see on a person, but insecure person, the real shy person, there's pride there.
Right.
I had it.
Mm-hmm.
I was the most insecure, shy person you ever met.
Right.
But you really feel like everybody's concerned with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you're feeling that.
Like they went home and they're thinking about you because you're thinking about what you should have said, could have said. And they're just going on with their day.
Yep.
It's like renting. What do they say? Don't let people rent space in your mind, right?
Yeah.
So we need to make a decision to turn our will over to God's will, our life, over to God's care, his love, his supply, his nature, divine nature, okay? His disposition. I keep saying disposition because I'm learning a lot about the nature that Jesus gave us, a new disposition, the new life, the new birth. So we need to lead by that way, by the Spirit first. Then it'll manifest in the natural. And that takes faith. So Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will straight your paths. So I had to make a decision to turn, which means to repent, to turn my heart from the desires of fulfilling my own pleasures to God. What is God's desires? You know, even my prayers turned around. My prayer, usually anyone, if you are, you know, it's not about like, God, if you do this for me, or if when you do this for me, then I can do this so that I can do it for you. And we think like, okay, when you equip me, then I'm going to go. No, it's Father, lead and guide me. Show me the way. And how can I be of service to you today? You know, not like, as long as you're with me, Lord, I'm going. We have to know that in our heart, that he is with us. So we have to do God's will. And that's his life. It's a God life. It's denying my will, my life, my natural desires, the natural man, thinking, soul man. Right? To the spirit man. The old disposition in nature to God's will, his life, the spirit life, the new disposition, the new nature, the divine nature, the power, the dunamis that's in the Holy Spirit in us, Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? The hope of glory is the manifestation of God's life through my life. You know, it's like what he desires, what he's thinking, what he's planning. He's going to use you listening to fulfill his desires, his will here on earth as it is in heaven. So it's important that we get close to our King, get close to our Daddy. He loves us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He loves you. And that's the biggest thing. To know that he loves you is the best, is the, first of all, if you don't have that, it's going to be difficult. You're going to find yourself always stumbling and questioning yourself. Knowing the Father's love is a key ingredient to walking in the Spirit. It is, because it's about faith, knowing that everything you need, he's got you. Okay? So I need to be informed, and that means to know and understand, and that's intimacy with God in order to make a decision. So Jesus comes on the scene. Before Jesus came on the scene fully, John the Baptist was talking about Jesus and laying a path for Jesus to come. There's another, right, that he felt that he couldn't, he was sharing that is bigger and is the Messiah that's coming to fulfill the debt of sin, the debt. And when I say debt, I mean like, you know, the debt is paid of sin. And it was Jesus. So he was talking to people about Jesus, about this person who's going to come. And then when Jesus shows up, he says, that's the one. That's the one. So we all have to get to a place where we get information, informed, in order to make a decision. That's why most people get saved, or they'll turn their life over and say, I want to get to know Jesus. When you talk about Jesus, how Jesus affected your life. When someone asks you, how did you get to where I knew the way you used to be, and you testify your relationship, your intimacy with Jesus, every person, instead of me sharing someone else's testimony, I have a personal testimony, which makes it much more real and tangible to another person, and identifying and able to say, well, if you can, then I can, right? What he did for me, he did for you too. And when you have that personal conversation, that's it. You know, people aren't going to just run people heard about Jesus before they ran to see him, do his miracles and stuff. They were hearing about him. So, and they made a decision to go, right? And learn more. And that's what we need to do. And we must be born again in order to be, to learn these things. Okay. So we can come into the kingdom and stay stuck in our soul, stuck in our thinking, and stop there. No growth. Live a life that's still full of ups and downs, in and outs. And I'm not saying life is easy because, you know, you turn your will and your life over to the care of God, but there's a joy and a peace and a comfort and a just knowing that, you know, you're glorifying him, you're expanding the kingdom. It's a heart shift. It's your life is not your own. When you submit yourself or deny yourself, it says deny the flesh. That's denying your way, denying self, and turning yourself to himself. So unwilling to be humble, like Jesus was a humble man, right? And submit to the Holy Spirit will keep you from giving up your own will. That's what the stumbling block is. It's, I don't want to give up these things. When he told the rich young ruler to sell everything and give it to the poor, he was doing everything for God. He was, you know, on the outside. He prayed. He went to temple. He was doing all those things. He probably didn't curse and all these wonderful things, right? But when God really got to the root of the problem, which was fulfilling self-desires, he stumbled. He couldn't do it. And he was sad that he couldn't let go of his own things. I guess I'll say, what is it? Idols and crowns.
And he actually said you'll have treasures in heaven.
Yep.
He didn't say you'll make it to heaven.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. So we want to live a life over to, we want to give our lives over to the care of God. But if I don't know who he is and what his care looks like, it's going to be very difficult. That's why he wants to get to know you personally. And the love of the Father, I find with every person that's been in my life that have struggled and then come to the other side, they always tell me it's because I know God loves me. I believe that. And that's how they got to the other side of that, whatever situation it is. You know, I do believe that's like the main ingredient to freedom and peace in the kingdom and spiritual living. Spiritual living. And God wants us to live in the natural, of course, here, but to have a heart in the spiritual heart for the Father. So the I, me, and my self-desire, will, life, purpose, plan, and need over God and others. That's what pride is about. That's what ego is about. And whether it's even, like James was saying, the other side of the dime, it's still worth the same amount. You know, poor me, I'm worthless, all that. That's the same thing. It's you believe that you know better about you than God, basically, you know? So
she meant you know better about yourself than God knows about you.
Exactly.
Like if he says
you're worthy, you know, like he died for you to make you righteous, holy. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, that's just it. This is like what he did for you wasn't enough. Like you're some high, great thing that can sin beyond God's reach. You know what I mean?
Amen.
You're saying you're a better sinner than he is Savior, basically.
Right. So pride is the manifestation of my desire for pleasure. A feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those who one is closely associated with, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Take delight, joy, pleasure for in myself first. So God wants us to take delight and have joy and all these things we're designed. He created us with that, but we're doing it unto ourselves and not unto him. And that's where we stumble in our lives and we get stuck. So spirit of pride keeps me from receiving and keeps me from denying my selfish, self-centered desires from God's perfect will. And what is his perfect will? It's love. It's knowing him, understanding him. It's the wisdom of God. It's his love, being secure in his love. It's his spirit in me, his divine nature to operate through me. God's life in the spirit realm here on earth. It's him glorifying himself through the people, my life. You know what? It's a miracle that I'm sober. I mean, you know, that's a miracle. It's been a long time, but that's like a major miracle. I was a disaster, you know? And there were people that knew me as a disaster. And they see a miracle. They see only God can do that. And it's the truth. I mean, there were times, I mean, I was sober on my own strength and my own will, but there was a lot of pride in it. There was a lot of anger in it. There was a lot of, self-worth. Like I, what will people think? You know, always feeling, you know, I'm watched. And today there's freedom. Because the what happens is when the heart changes, the motives change. It's not because I want to be a good person that I'm sober. It's because I want to be of sound mind so that God can use me properly.
She's sober, but she was not free.
Exactly.
But if you've seen her, she had it all in order.
Yeah, on the outside.
I've never told, I don't know if I should say this, because I had a vision when you came in the church. I think it's the second time when you were coming to my classes. When you walked in, and it was like, your spirits were sitting in chairs like you had them, like you had whipped them into order, and they're just like in obedience, like you had everything in control.
Yeah. Even though without a drink, but I was still very intoxicated. Yeah. They were all sitting next to me.
Yeah, they were all my bottles. Stacked up over your head,
jealousy, envy, rage. You know, my own bar. That's a good one.
I always thought about, whenever I think of telling you that, I'm not with you. That's the first time I was ever with you, and I thought about that I should share that with you.
Okay, well, there you go. You see?
It's good for the listener to hear, you know, hey, she was not drinking for over 10 years, but she still was not free.
Yeah.
But she had control. Mm-hmm. If you're around her, you wouldn't realize.
Amen.
You'd realize if you discern.
It was like a Pharisee.
Like you were kind of like... You're very strict, coarse kind of. Now you're so
Pharisee,
different.
It's they look good. They had the jewels on. They were like all proper.
Yeah.
Amen. You know. So yeah. Okay. So pride offends God. It turns your focus, your eyes, your attention. You're looking away from grace of God. You know, onto yourself, I, self, and me, and it keeps you from the sunlight of the Father. And we want to be in the presence of Jesus. I always say he's the sunlight of the Father. Sunlight. Whoop, whoop. Right? So grace, what is grace? Simple elegance or refinement of movement. Courteous goodwill. The free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Christ in me, the hope of glory. To be more like Jesus in the image and likeness. And that's God's nature. His nature and character. Image and likeness. Nature and character. Two different things. Nature and character.
Yeah, and I just want to say another definition of grace, which used to be in the Strong's. They've not only changed Bibles, now they've changed the Strong's. But which, if you know what the Strong's is, it's a concordance telling you what the Greek and Hebrew meanings of all the words in the King James gives you the actual word, but grace was God's divine influence upon the heart, the reflection seen in the life. It's God's power to change, not your power to change. It's God giving you the power to overcome. And
amen. And that's what I'm. That's another way of saying that. It's
that grace
his nature coming out of you, his character. You start to walk in the image and likeness of how God would have us walk. It's like what the Bible says. You start to line up with what the Bible's saying.
That's why, like, when I used to fast, and it was hard, man. And I was an eating person back then, and I'd starve. But then he started giving me the grace where I wasn't hungry.
Amen. You know? Amen. So. It's like celibacy. I mean, I'm being honest. I was sexually active.
Yeah.
You know, especially even in the beginning of my becoming a Christian. And I got convicted because God is something that was necessary. Mm-hmm. And he supplied celibacy because I have freedom. It's not like I feel like I lack, or it's just the way it is. It's like drinking. I don't feel like I'm lacking. It's just mm-hmm. the way it is. It's like it's how I need to be used the way he's using me. Yeah. You know. Amen. And it doesn't become a burden. You know?
No, he'd give you grace. So amazing. Like in the sleeping department, or where I didn't sleep for days.
Yeah.
And I had full energy all night.
Amen. That's right. It doesn't become a burden. It becomes part of the nature of who you are, his nature in you, you know? And there's a lot of other areas that, you know, I have to work out. But I'm just saying there are certain areas that... that are, you know, I get it. You know, like that's where, and because of those areas, and I'm sure people listening might have certain areas of their life where they're like, yeah, I do. I feel peace in that place. Like peace that you can't explain. It is finished in that category. You know what I mean? In that space, it is finished. Now, God might take you deeper, you know, somewhere along your walk, but right now, that peace is finished. It's complete for this moment, which is a good place to be. You know, it's almost like when I'm feeling turmoil because I have to make a decision. Made a decision to my will in my life. And then once you make that decision, it's like picking multiple choice. I don't know which one. And then once you pick it, you're like, okay, it's done. I did it. There's a sense of calm that comes over you, you know? And that's what it is. It's the grace of God coming over you. Hallelujah. So we will either work hard for an identity or work from our identity. So either I'm going to try to be who God wants me to be, or I am who God says I am. And I don't have to try to work for it. I just fall into who he says I am. And how do I know who he says I am? He says it about every one of us. He's not a respecter. Nobody's higher or lower, or it's about the level of my walk and my faith. And everyone, you know, how close you want to be and how much you want to surrender. And it's an individual process. And the only thing that makes us different from each other is our spiritual maturity, not what he's offered. He's offered the same thing for everybody and the same availability to him. It's the same Bible for all of us to partake in. It's the same promises, the same word. And it's up to us to be filled. So grace is God working in me, like James said. Holy Spirit, his character and image and likeness. It's his divine power coming out. Okay? James 4:4-6 says, and this is where pride promotes strife. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's his grace is the power that we need to fulfill his will, his word here on earth. Hallelujah. So whenever there is ought between me and another person, place, or thing, there is pride. There's something that I'm feeling wounded by or puffed up by. And that's a separation from not only me and God, but me and the person, place, or thing, because I'm allowing that thing to wedge in and clog a relationship between me and whoever it is, whatever it is, and always with God. because he's always should be in the center of us, of everything that I am interacting with. He's the center of it. He's the God conscious, the God centered life. And if I have a clog, then nothing can get filtered through him to the other side. Okay. Go ahead.
This is 1 Peter 5:2. I'll start. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight, therefore, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. We're not to lord over people as we teach or preach, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. So we're supposed to be examples, living as examples, and lift people up. Mm-hmm. My thing is always, as you probably know,
encourage, yes.
Yeah, get and lift the person up, not lift myself up.
Amen. You know, Amen. That was the direction I gave today in one of, in one of the sessions that I had with a couple was to encourage and edify and lift up. They're going through something, you know, and the other family member during this process. Right. Amen. So pride looks for reasons to argue. Pride says, I don't like it and it's your fault. People filled with pride care more about making a point than people. They will sacrifice people to make a point. That's a sign of immaturity, spiritual immaturity. So pride looks for reasons to disconnect, focuses on small reasons to disconnect rather than focus on things that can connect to in each other, things that we're common in. Judgmental, compare their ways and beliefs to others. Just because you believe it doesn't mean it's right. And that's another thing, you know, when I talk with, you don't have to agree with me. Well, let's find a common ground somewhere where, you know, we love always, you know, stay where the love is. There are people in my life that don't agree with everything I believe politically. I still commune with them. I still love them. I still can go places with them. And, you know, that's what we're called to do.
I don't know about going that far. No, I'm kidding. I'm teased.
No more Thanksgivings. Oh, gosh. But that's what we're called to do. And he says, turn the other cheek. Give him a cloak. You know, that's what, you know, if them eating meat is, you know, and you don't, eat the meat. You know, why? It's better to be part of, for peace sake, for peace sake. You know, do it. And God rewards that. God sees that. God can be glorified through that.
You know? Even pride gets in that thing.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why even scripture says, don't think, you know, the one not to think he's better because he's not eating the meat.
Exactly.
And that's, you commonly totally see pride. That with the people that are.
Exactly.
Vegetarians think they're above.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah. Like, I'm right, you know. Mm. Listen, it's okay. Jesus was 100% right when he was talking to all these people.
I just got to say, there's a Kenneth Hagin's got, I mean, Derek Prince got a lot of stories, but he was, and the demons would talk out of people a lot with Derek Prince. Annoying, he was just on him. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine was in a church, a friend of mine, Henry Wright, was in a church. Derek Prince walked out to preach. He went to hear him. And the minute he walked out, half the people in the pews started manifesting just in his presence. Mm-hmm. But he was casting demons out of the lady, and it's a new demon pops up. No pork, no bacon. No pork, no bacon. No pork, no bacon. He says, what do you do? I keep it from eating pork and bacon. How'd you get in there? She went over to such church, and it was a big church that preached against eating pork.
Yep.
And I got into her there.
There you go.
Yeah.
See? So I recommend you come to the October classes. So also, pride looks for reasons to condemn, tormented, and feel condemned. So that's what happens. And when I say that, it's not only if pride is in me, I'm going to operate like that. But that's how I can recognize how pride tries to come at me. You know? So you might be free of pride, but this is ways you can understand and how to help another person, too, in that area. You know, we all suffer from, you know, thinking we're the most important person in the room sometimes. I'm being honest, you know, and then we have to catch ourselves and check our hearts. And
again, insecurity, you feel like everybody's concerned about you.
Yep.
That don't feel like pride, but it is.
Right.
Because you're sitting over there like, and if I say that, I'm going to look stupid, you know, or like, you know, you think the whole room is revolved around. And you go
pride
home, oh, I said
from...
this, and you're asking your friend, did I sound stupid? And
I'm like,
everybody's home eating and thinking about what they're going to do. They're not thinking back to what one sentence you said in the group with everybody talking.
Yeah, but and that's a big blocker for speaking in tongues. Pride keeps you because you think like, oh, I'm going to sound stupid. I don't understand it. What is everybody going to think? You know, and that keeps you from being free. Free from that in that area of praying in tongue, speaking in tongues too.
And while you're saying that, I just want to say if you're having trouble speaking in tongues, first off, 90% of the time you need to do the speaking. I know my brother and one other person that God just kind of took over. That's very rare. And unfortunately, the other person don't believe you could just speak in tongues. They only did it twice because they think, no, you have to wait till, actually, no, three people. But, the other one thinks you can't just speak in tongues. You know, Paul said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. But I want to say that if you're having trouble with that, one block, which is common, and recently it's been close to a year, a guy that was, he had everybody pray, and I had prayed for him, and he called me. He's like, everybody in the world is praying for me, and why can't I do it? And I was like, do you ever play a Ouija board? No, and I started naming things. I got like three things that he didn't realize were occultic. Had him repent, and he's the guy that was on the air with us. And then he goes to bed early because he gets up really early. He's the captain of the fire department, and I hung up. I'm like, man, I didn't pray for him to speak in tongues. Still wanted to see now if maybe he did, you know. But it's already almost 11 o'clock, and he calls back like 12:30. I have been speaking in tongues for 45 minutes. When we hung up, it just come out. I was like,
amen.
And I learned that from Derek Prince because he told the same story with somebody he was.
Praise God.
So I'm telling that. And I told it in church, but the reason was for anybody in there that wasn't getting it, it wasn't to applaud the testimony. It was to realize, hey, you may need to look here.
And that's something that I'm sure we can even go over in October.
Yeah.
So that if people, you know, are, and then we can physically, you know, interact with them, which is really a blessing. So if you are available, if for all of them, we would like you to attend all five Thursdays, but even if you can get to one or a few of them, that would be good for you.
Yeah, we'll cover a different spirit each time.
Amen. Okay, so we feel condemned. They condemn others, feel better about themselves. So we put other people down. Well, pride does, not us. Pride puts other people down so we can feel better about ourselves. When others sin and may even be glad that they, go to hell. You know, sometimes you're like, I just don't like that person. And you can have those thoughts and everything. Just repent. You know, God loves all of us. And pride can get us into a place where we can get hateful.
When you learn about spirits, like if you learn about the classes, you'll start recognizing that it's not the person you have a problem with. Because you'll see the whole characteristic is the same.
And 50 million people you know.
Yeah. And then you know right away when it starts talking.
I got five members that I know.
You don't point it out. It does make it easier to forget them.
Amen.
That really got them
that's
down.
Right. And that's what God wants. He wants us to recognize so that we can release these people.
Yeah, I love the person
and
hates the demon.
Yes. Amen.
Spirit, I should call it.
Because sometimes when we bind people where they're not free to receive in so many other areas, we're holding them back too. You know.
Yeah, the difference between discernment and judgment is judgment makes the person evil. Discernment discerns the spirit, causing them to be that
calling
way.
Calling it out, yep.
And hates the spirit and loves the person.
Amen.
God died for that person and wants to set them free.
And pride looks for reasons to show off knowledge, pull things out of context, to show others in the world how well I know the word, or I am informed. I study the world. I know who I am. It's like braga, boastful. The I, very vain.
Man, I just got to say, when I first that gift of discernment came on, it was about 20-some years ago, and I was seeing and I was hearing stuff in people's voices, and there was a preacher I'd listen to every day, and I worked at the irrigation business, and I was so excited for him to come on. And so the day, this gift comes on me, and then I hadn't heard him, you know, it's like a certain day of the week. So I turn it, like, he's going to be on, I'm waiting, and he comes on, and the pride that was in his preaching, and I never noticed it, though. I'm like, for years, I was listening to this guy. I'm like, oh, my God, that's like, you don't realize. Mm-hmm. We don't want to talk down. We don't have to, you know, it's like ministering to people, not.
Mm-hmm.
I never even recognized it. I was kind of freaked out, to be honest.
So you prayed for him?
Huh?
You prayed for him?
I don't think I did at that point. I was just shocked. I was discerning all these
so
things.
So it kind of altered your view. Right? So do not fight.
Yeah, I judged him. Sorry. Forgive
me. Well, that's okay. You see? You said sorry. So do not fight pride with pride. It's humility, nature of God, his character of love that covers. All right? It conquers pride. That's the only thing. God's love, his nature, his divine nature, his character, the image and likeness. What does God's love look like? We are the vessels that he wants to express himself through. So ask him, God, how do you want me to love this person, place, thing in this situation? Okay?
And I pray a lot of times, Lord, help me to see him the way you see
him. Amen. Amen.
I'm having a hard time.
And the Godhead is called to cover. And he will. He will cover. Okay? So James 4:7-10 says, humility cures worldliness. And that's vanity and pride. So therefore, submit to God. This is so important that we surrender our self-will, our self-centeredness, our selfishness, okay? Mm-hmm. Deny our natural man desires, the fleshly desires, okay? The natural man desires.
And pride isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking less about yourself.
Right.
You can be confident and you're a son of God and be humble.
Amen.
Be confident.
Mm-hmm.
Not.
You mean, you know what I mean? Humility.
Humility, yeah.
You said pride.
Awesome.
That's okay. Because
I said it backwards.
Yeah.
Humility is thinking less
right.
About yourself, not less of yourself.
Right, right. Amen. So we therefore submit to God. So that's the first thing we have to do. Resist the devil. All right. And the devil is the temptations, the things that bedevilments, the things that he tries to do and manipulate and cause turmoil and chaos, right? And he will flee from you. But it's my job to resist. And the only way I could do that is by submitting to God. He will supply what I need, right? Seek first, submit. Okay, God, what's your care in this? I'm going to lay down my way of doing it, my desire of the result of this. And leave it to you, God. Show me, right? And resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So you don't stop.
And submitting is submitting to all of what mm-hmm. he tells us to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because so many people, they don't submit. They got unforgiveness or pornography, whatever, and then they're wondering why they can't beat this spirit in this other area, fear of man, whatever it is. But it's submitting to the whole word of God.
Right. We want to submit our whole life, but the way we practice is when we're going through something, that's a time to recognize that I'm probably not submitting in this area, and this is something I wouldn't be going through it this way, because God will give you peace even though there's a storm. He'll give you the love you need to be loving during it, patient during it, whatever the ingredients that you need to fulfill God's plan and purpose, you will receive. But you have to draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. You have to cleanse your hands. That means pure heart, your sinners, and purity of your heart. Okay, your actions and heart. Okay? You double-minded. Okay? And your thoughts. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turn to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So stay under him. All right. We want to understand him, stand under him so that he could pour out what we need. I'm going to stop there. You want to share a little something and just, then we'll pray through.
And I just want to say what I say because spirits have rights. Unforgiveness gets a legal right. That's what we mean by you're not going to get free of something else because you're not submitting. And that's the main tool they use, even though they use other tools. You mean occultic stuff, background stuff in your generations. But most commonly it's unforgiveness. And I used to make them talk in the beginning before I try to be led more by the Holy Spirit now. But if they start talking, I'll make them like, what right you had to disobey me? And her mother, or, you know, they'll tell you who. So I'm just telling you, they can laugh at you and spit in your face and everything else if they have if you've got unforgiveness in your heart. Not you, but the person getting the deliverance. Now, you can have unforgiveness and cast demons out of everybody. You just won't get them out of yourself.
So just remember that in step three, it's turn your will over. That's your own desires, okay? And then in step four, you get the courage. When you do that, you got the supply you need to look at your behaviors. How have you been acting in your life, you know? And why due to your behaviors, are there resentments, fears, and harms? Okay, and that's the whole goal. And next week we'll finish up step four and a little bit more on pride. But I want to keep the focus on what we're, you know, trying to achieve here, James and I, and help set the captives free with the Word of God. So James is going to pray.
Yeah, if you're listening and you don't know the Lord and you'd like to ask him in your heart and start a journey with him, becoming a son, daughter, become a son or daughter right now. The Word of God is clear. If you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and he rose the third day, and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes in salvation. With the mouth, confession is made. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer if you'd like to do that. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my life.
I ask you to come into my life.
And be Lord of my life.
And be Lord of my life.
And I surrender to you.
And I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And if you've accepted the Lord and need some literature or anything or a Bible,
call
just
me.
Call and let us know. And me or Luann will supply.
That's right. So we agape you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Amen.
Shalom, shalom.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. Cause God is greater than any storm, and he is closer when we feel alone. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He is here. Jesus is here. For the lost and for the hurting, he is here. Jesus is here.
So leave.